Welcome to Random Trek, the podcast where your host, that's me, Scott McNulty, discusses a random episode of Star Trek with a decidedly non-random guest. My guest today is Jordan Cooper. Jordan, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. So, Jordan, tell the people about yourself.
Well, I'm Jordan Cooper. I'm a stand-up comic from Louisville, Kentucky, or originally New York City. I always have to throw that in just so people don't think that I'm some, like, redneck hick or something.
I was going to say, you don't want to be labeled as a southerner. You're a northerner in exile.
Right, exactly. Primarily because it's cheaper to live out here.
Very cheaper. And you have a podcast of your own.
Yes, on the 5x5 network called Tech Douchebags. It is a 12-step program for technology snobs that's disguised as a comedic interview podcast.
And depending on when this podcast that we are recording right now is released, I either will be on it or have been on it. So either look forward to that or actually look for it if you're interested in hearing Jordan and I talk about technology.
I believe if you slingshot yourself around the sun, that statement can be true or false depending on where you are.
Look, we're already getting into the Star Trek. I love it. So speaking of Star Trek, given that reference, I think you might be a Star Trek fan. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Right. I believe it's called being a Trekker or a Trekkie. Depending on how you describe yourself, that pisses off half the people that are listening.
That's right. I think I like Trekker myself because it seems more active. I don't know why, but it doesn't really bother me one way or the other.
Well, I mean, I got into Star Trek primarily during, you know, the Next Generation time period, because I'm 35 currently. And, you know, I think the first movie I saw was the fourth one, The Voyage Home.
The funny one.
Yeah. I mean, that was the best one, but I was, what, like 8 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why with, like, the original series, I view that in the same way that that I'm a kind of a douchebag with music, that, you know, once the production values go down, anything from the 60s or 70s just doesn't sound as good as the music that I was used to listening to in the 90s.
So we are going to talk about sixth season episode, Starship Mine, episode 18, for those people keeping track at home. I always say that, and I don't know why. And this is probably, like you're saying, this is what I think people call a bottle episode, right? It's all, you could tell that it was pretty cheap to produce because they had all the sets except for one. They probably spent a lot of money on extras early on, but then the rest of the episode is pretty cheap. Not to say that it is a bad episode. It is just, from a production standpoint, economical. So this is the episode which is basically Die Hard on the Enterprise.
Right. Picard becomes John McClane.
That's right. He does. A decidedly less action-y John McClane, but certainly there's more action in this episode than Captain Picard generally gets himself into, which is either good or bad depending on your view of Captain Picard punching people and killing people. Actually, Captain Picard kills a bunch of people in this episode, and nobody seems to mind, so hey.
No, but you could tell even when he, at the end, I don't want to spoiler alert. Are there spoiler alerts on your show?
No, this whole the whole podcast is a spoiler, so.
But even at the end, when the starship that carries them away, you know, blows up, he has a sense on his face like he'd rather that not happen.
That's true. And that speaks, I think, to Patrick Stewart's – he does a fine job of acting. You could tell he kills a bunch of people in this episode, and as we talk about it, it becomes clear why. But he doesn't enjoy it. He just does it because he's a Starfleet officer and he's defending the Enterprise. But there's another death that we'll get to that I think is oddly treated as well. But nobody liked that character, apparently, so no one cared. But we'll get to that. So the episode starts with the Enterprise at the Remler Array, where they need to get a baryon sweep, because apparently, as starships flit across the universe, they build up excess baryon radiation or something, and it needs to get swept away, because otherwise bad things will happen. And we start off with Captain Picard walking through the corridor, and I think on the Enterprise. And this may be the busiest the corridors I have ever seen on an episode of the show. The movies, where they have a little more budget for extras, always show the corridors bustling. But generally, you get maybe one or two people walking who aren't main characters. And in this episode, the crew members are running around because everybody has to get off the ship because the baryon sweep will kill any organic matter. So everybody's hustling about. Captain Picard walking down the corridor, and like half of his senior staff stop to talk to him, and they have questions and problems they need solved. And you can tell Captain Picard's kind of annoyed because he's like, just make a decision yourself. But they have to ask him. So he tells, you know, Deanna to fix something, and Riker's like, oh, we have to delay the sweep because something's broken. And he's like, no, Troy's taking care of it. And now I just want to get on the elevator, the turbo lift, I should say, and have a moment of peace. And the turbo lift opens and Data's standing there. And you think, okay, Picard can stand there. Data will stand silently, and Picard can enjoy a silent turbo lift ride. Sadly for Captain Picard, Data has decided that now is the time to test his new small talk subroutine, which is ridiculous. But and so Data talks about, wow, it's been quite a day, huh, Captain? And many other kind of irrelevant statements. And Captain Picard stops and says, Data, are you feeling all right? To which Data explains he has this new small talk subroutine. And we get introduced to the character of Commander Hutchinson, who apparently is in charge of the starbase that they're at, and who is a world-class small talker. So he tells him to talk to Commander Hutchinson and really get his small talk on. And then he exits the turbo lift onto the bridge, and he is immediately once again overwhelmed by Geordi and Worf talking at the same time, both having problems. He solves both of their problems, and then Worf asks if he can be excused from the reception. And Picard says yes. Geordi quickly says, can I be excused too? And Picard says, no, I can't. Worf beat you to it. And there you go. They go down to the base.
The credits seems like the first block of the show is written by, like, Aaron Sorkin.
There is a lot of walking and talking.
And also with the turbo lift, it seems as if the turbo lift operates at a level of – because Riker walks out of the turbo lift
yep.
to say something to Picard. And then, like, 2 minutes later, he has to, like, call the elevator again. And it's, like, right there with Data inside. like literally in script time, like, 17 seconds.
Yeah.
So I always found it odd that a lot of times they portray in the Jefferies tubes that this starship is humongous and there's only, like, one track with this turbo lift. Yet apparently it can move around so much that people could just pop in and pop out. And there's no problem whatsoever.
And I wondered how Riker knew where Picard was, because Picard walks up to the turbo lift. Obviously, he's going to the bridge. And then Riker just pops out, and it's clear he was looking for the captain, and he just found the captain already. And then, as you said, they talk for like 10 seconds, and then Data's in the turbo lift. Picard cannot catch a break, which I guess is really the theme of this whole episode, is Picard can't catch a break. And because now everybody's down on the space station or the planet. I think it's a planet.
Which is a very decrepit type of array. It seems like it somehow got rusted in space. And this is the place, because the Remler array, this is the place where, like, every couple of years, like you mentioned, that they have to do this sweep of mm-hmm. baryon particles. So you would think that would be in much more central location to the Federation, yet it looks like it's in this barren place with these people on this planet that they need to send, you know, some commander off to be in charge of. Like, that wouldn't be closer. Like, if you're only going to go there every 5 years, and maybe there's a couple of them, of course, we don't know. Maybe there's 16 of them. Who knows how they expanded? Just seems weird that something that involves taking, you know, all the people off your ship and doing this expensive thing. I mean, in general terms, I mean, there's no money on Star Trek, but something that's so imperative to a starship just out in the middle of nowhere. And you could even tell when Picard leaves the ship that he kind of looks at the empty bridge in the way that, like, he, even though it's season six already, like, this is his ship. He doesn't view it as like, oh, I'm just, you know, renting it for the time being and being, you know, a Starfleet officer. Like, it's like he doesn't want to leave. Like, he doesn't want to leave this in the hands of other people. And that's when they break to the title credit and they show, you know, the people working on the bridge and to set up for this array type of sweep. And, like, he's like, oh, I better leave. Like, this, it's not my ship anymore.
That's true. I did like that scene. I skipped over it. And there's also another thing I wanted to skip over, which is, well, I didn't want to skip over, but I did. Picard has to disable the command functions of the starship, so basically take everything offline. And so he says, okay, let me do that. So he says to the computer, in 30 minutes, take all the command functions offline. And then he states his name and a 6-character or a 5-character password, which once again, I have to, you know, Starfleet security is not great. Because
or also, the other thing when he mentions to Geordi about, you know, having to change something on the ship based on, like, organic matter to contain something that they didn't already have. And, like, Geordi came to Picard in a way that, oh, my God, we got to do this. And Picard's like, well, how long is that going to take? And he's like, 20 minutes. like it should – like, that thing that he – that LaForge described – probably should have taken 2 days, like, by the way he presented it.
Right.
And then it was like 20 minutes. It's like, that's a big inconvenience. It's like, you do this thing once every 5 years. You don't think that would be on, like, your duty roster thing of the things to do that week? Like, on your to-do list app or something?
Yeah, make sure to shield the computer so it's not wiped out. Seems important. I don't know. Yeah, this seems like everyone's caught off guard by this scan or sweep, even though it happens every 5 years. People, Starfleet, I guess Starfleet regimentation isn't as good as it used to be.
It could have been just like a pit stop, like you're on the road, you see that gas station, it's like, oh, why not get a car wash?
That's right.
Why not?
Let's just do it. It's here.
Right.
They include a free waxing. Oh, and the other thing I forgot to mention, you mentioned, so the crew that is going to be performing, I guess, setting up, you know, last minute stuff on the sweep. So there's the crew from the planet or the space station, wherever they're at. And amongst the crew is Tuvok, although it's not really Tuvok. It's Tim Ross, who plays Tuvok in Voyager, playing a human in this episode. It's always amusing when you see an actor from a different Star Trek series before they go into become a regular, become a little guest star on Star Trek. The crew of the Enterprise beams down to this planet. There's this very sad reception that involves two natives of the planet who are serving as kind of waiters and caterers, one of them being the administrator of the station, and Commander Hutchinson, who's the Starfleet officer in charge of the station, and Riker, Geordi, LaForge – no, Geordi is LaForge – Crusher, and Picard.
Right. There's not much of a reception. There's no senior staff, like the commander doesn't have, like, Hutchinson doesn't have a staff. Seems like no one works there. This gala reception that they were all scared of going to. It's like, oh, we have to go through this hassle. It's essentially a senior staff meeting of the Enterprise, just eating some peanuts.
That's right, with Hutchinson, who is the main reason they're all avoiding, because Commander Hutchinson is one of those kinds of people who just talks and talks and talks about anything. And I liked his character. We don't see him very much. But I enjoyed his character because it is someone who you have met at a cocktail party who latches on to the most impressive person in the room until someone better comes on. And they're like, oh, let me go. So he sees Beverly and he's like, Beverly, you have to tell me everything that's happened since you've left Starfleet Medical. And then out of the corner of his eye, he sees Riker and he says, oh, is that Will Riker? Nice to talk to you, Beverly. And he goes over to talk to Riker with kind of an awkward conversation about how he knew he was Riker because he has piercing blue eyes and a strong jaw and he's a hit with the ladies. And as he is making Riker feel a little awkward, Picard comes in, and so he abandons Riker and talks to Picard. And you can tell none of them want to talk to him because, you know, he's kind of a blowhard and he's just going to gab and gab and gab. But he's not that bad, and I say that as foreshadowing for what happens a little later in the episode. He's kind of annoying, but that's all right. And he makes an offhand comment to Picard that there are horses on this planet. And Captain Picard says, horses? I have a saddle on the Enterprise, so I'm going to go back to the Enterprise and get my saddle and go riding on a horse. And Hutchinson says, oh, all right. And everyone's like, you have a saddle? Which becomes a recurring theme in this episode. And Captain Picard says, of course, any experienced horseman has a saddle. Now, here's my problem with Captain Picard.
So you have a problem with the saddle?
I have a problem with him having to go all the way back to the Enterprise to get his saddle. When he could just beam his saddle down to where he is, one imagines. It seems like there's no reason to go to the Enterprise. But he does go to the Enterprise, because if he didn't go to the Enterprise, this episode would not happen. Because when he goes back to get his saddle, he notices some junction.
He also changes, by the way.
Oh, he does. That's true. He's in his uniform. And then
he's like Walker, Texas Ranger now.
He has a very interesting, like a flowy blouse with a little vest on. I guess it's his riding duds. I don't know.
But it looks like that, like, he doesn't ride. Like, it's obvious that he doesn't at all. And he had to go back to the Enterprise to, you know, replicate a saddle. Like, it seems like he almost in his head was like, well, I gotta go full hog on this. Like, if I just come back with my uniform, that wouldn't be the same. So I have to come up with this garb that I have to replicate and put on and, you know, whatever. Just seems like I like that he went kind of like full horseman.
Yeah, because he can't. So your hypothesis is that he has never ridden a horse before, and he's just done that because he so dislikes talking to Commander Hutchinson that he has made up this elaborate ruse. And he didn't think Commander Hutchinson would say, okay, you should go ride horses, but he did. And so Picard's like, great, let me go get my saddle. And in his head, he's thinking, I need to replicate a saddle, and I have to look like someone who rides horses. So he comes up with this crazy costume and gets this saddle. And as he's committed now, right? He's on the Enterprise. He's got his crazy costume on. He's got his saddle that he's just replicated. So he has to go back down and ride a horse.
He was probably relieved to run into the terrorists because then he doesn't have to actually go down
and really commit to
riding that horse.
It's a stroke of good luck that he notices this junction box is open, and he thinks, that's weird. And as he's pondering that, Tuvok, who is not Tuvok but some other person, says, hey, what are you looking at? And Captain Picard says, oh, I just saw this junction box was open and it seemed odd. And Tuvok says, well, don't worry about it. Move along. And Picard thinks, this is very strange. But he says, okay. And he turns. And then Tuvok says, hey. And immediately, Captain Picard swivels around and clocks him in the head with his saddle. Because Tuvok was trying to kill Captain Picard. We don't know why, but it is clear something is fishy.
Well, I got the sense that, because Tuvok, let's just call him Tuvok. Why the hell not?
We have to.
Gave an excuse, like gave a reason why he was fusing something together for some reason. And I'm assuming, even though Picard is not an engineer of any sort, that somehow didn't make any sense.
Right. He knows.
I didn't really get the feeling that when he turned around, like he turned around not seeing that he had a weapon or some type of, you know, little laser fuse thing.
He has a laser welder.
Like when he turned around, Picard was already committed to, this guy is lying to me and something's up.
Let's pause for a moment and welcome Random Trek's first sponsor ever, and hopefully not our last, Loot Crate. Now, if you're not familiar with Loot Crate, it's a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. Past crates have included Star Trek items, including a Tribble, and who doesn't want their own Tribble? Now, this month is all about spooky, creepy, and scary parts of your favorite geek and gaming franchises. October's crate is going to include another epic shirt, because they always include a shirt, as well as the recently confirmed exclusive Walking Dead and Capcom items. Now, Star Trek is not the only show that I watch. I do enjoy me some Walking Dead, although it is slightly more violent than Star Trek. Just a skosh more violent, and certainly probably like 100% more zombies you'll find in Walking Dead. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. Sadly, none of my friends do that. But Loot Crate is even better than your friends. Now, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive this month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. You'll just have to wait for the next month, which I'm sure will be great anyway, but get in now. Now, if you want to help support Random Trek, and I know you do, head over to lootcrate.com/randomtrek and enter the code. Quick, get your pad. See what it does, a Star Trek joke. Never mind. And write down this code, randomtrek, one word, and you save 10% on any new subscription. That's a good deal. My thanks to Loot Crate for sponsoring Random Trek. In an ironic twist, Picard administers a Vulcan nerve pinch on Tuvok, and Tuvok is unconscious. And Picard picks up his communicator, the terrorist's communicator. Oh, spoiler, they're terrorists. Picks up Tuvok's terrorist communicator, which only communicates with terrorists, and his welder, and drags his body off somewhere. He runs, so Picard knows something's up, right? So he's like, okay, I gotta get off this ship. So he leaves his saddle somewhere. He drags Tuvok into, I guess, medical or something, and he revives him and says, okay, what are you people doing on my ship? And Tuvok says, well... Oh, and he holds a phaser up to him, and Tuvok says, well, your phaser's not going to work because of the frequencies of the sweep. And Picard's like, well, this laser welder that I took from you will work, so tell me what you're doing. Tuvok says, well, you're Starfleet. You're not going to kill me. Proving Picard is not very good at interrogation, Picard gives him 3 seconds to answer the question and then immediately knocks him out with a hypo spray. So Picard has no idea what they're doing on the ship. He just knows they're up to no good. So he decides, all right, I got to get out of here. He runs to the turbo, not the turbo, he runs to the transporter room. As he's going there, he runs into another group that he hides from. The computer says, 1 minute until command functions are shut down. And this is another problem I have with this episode. So the computer, as we know, is a voice-based computer. You can interact with the computer via your voice. So I don't know why Captain Picard didn't just say, let's override the shutdown for like a minute so I can beam off computer, and they give us a little passcode that takes 2 seconds. But he doesn't. So he runs to the transporter room. He sets up the transporter thing because Miles is not there. Obviously, he's on the planet enjoying something other than the small talk. And just as he gets on the turbo pad, oh no, all the power goes off. And he's very sad.
That's what happens when you don't use 1Password.
That's right. Or you don't think, hey, I know all the codes for this ship, so I can stop the command shutdown, which I still don't know why he doesn't do. Well, I do know why, because if he did that, then once again, the episode would be over. So he doesn't do that. So then we shift back to the second story, which is back at the cocktail party, where everybody's trying to avoid talking to Hutch. And Data has been observing Hutch and has now cornered one of the aliens and is engaged in small talk with the aliens. Riker, noticing this and being stuck talking to Hutch, says, aha, I'll have Hutch talk to Data. So he introduces Hutch to Data. They engage in some small talk. The alien is appreciative that Riker has saved him from Hutch's small talk, and Data and Hutch just talk about stuff. Which is amusing. It's an amusing scene. Then Geordi, who is the only person who is eating anything at this party, by the way.
Everyone's, no, Riker was eating some like peanut stuff.
Oh, he ate it off of LaForge's plate, though.
Ah.
They're all drinking out of space glasses, but only LaForge has a plate. And he goes up to – these are the things you notice when you're watching these episodes multiple times. He goes up to the catering table to get some more food because there's plenty of food. Nobody else is eating it. And he notices, thanks to his visor, some weird energy readings. And he's an engineer, right? So he thinks, oh, I should check this out. And one of the alien attendants says, oh, what are you looking at, sir? And Geordi's like, well, I got some weird energy readings. And the guy's like, well, it's probably, just the power unit for the warmer. Don't worry about it. And Geordi says, well, I can probably take a look at it and fix it for you. You know, I am the chief engineer of the flagship of the Federation, so I could probably fix your Bunsen burner. And the alien's like, please, please, don't. And Geordi's like, I don't know. But they pull out, oh my God, they pull out rifles, or I guess disruptors or something. And they shoot LaForge. And Hutchinson says, what's the meaning of this? And he gets shot as well.
And we don't see him again.
We don't. We do see him. So it cuts to, it goes back to the Enterprise. Picard has been captured by the terrorists. And he figures out that they're trying to, and he tells them that he's Mott, who is the barber on the Enterprise. And I like the way he acted here because he doesn't have his normal confidence as a Picard, but he is, stammering and kind of over-explaining stuff and kind of annoying the terrorists. And so they basically tell him to shut up, put him in the corner, He figures out through watching what they're doing that they're trying to steal trilithium resin from the Enterprise, which is this unstable, explosive byproduct of the warp engine. They cut back to the party, and we see they pan over very quickly a body under one of the tablecloths. And you can, since there were only like six people at this party, the body can only be Commander Hutchinson, who must have been killed and who is never mentioned again for the rest of the episode, which seems kind of odd, but nobody liked him, I guess. So who cares that he's dead?
Right. Everyone was taking care of Geordi. And everybody, no one was really caring about, oh, the guy with the small talk, he's dead.
That's great. Right. Everyone was very concerned. Geordi is not dead. He is injured. And everybody's very concerned about him, but nobody cares. They threw a tablecloth over Hutchinson and was like, whatever, let's never speak of him again. and so Geordi needs some medical attention. Luckily, Beverly's there, so she's giving him some attention. But he probably needs a little bit more. And so Riker says, well, if we can ask our captors here to let us get a med kit, and maybe we can make a weapon out of it. Data says, well, maybe we can make a weapon out of the visor and make it emit a high-pitched frequency that would knock everybody out but me, and then we could, you know, sneak away. And so they settle on that plan.
And obviously the hostage takers don't go to Hostage 101 class, which is don't let the hostages talk to one another.
I was thinking the same thing, and because the Federation officers make it extremely obvious that they're talking to one another. They're not like whispering or trying to be cool about it. And once again, there are four officers, right? Deanna, Geordi, Beverly, and Riker, and two guards and a dead guy. But they don't. The guards don't seem to notice that these guys are you know, plotting against them.
Right. They're like walking back and forth, like with cups over their mouths,
right. Holding their hands above their mouth.
Right.
It seems strange. Then we're back up to the Enterprise, where they still haven't figured out where Tuvok is. He's been knocked out, and Picard still has the laser welder that he took from Tuvok. So he sticks the laser welder in some kind of data port. I don't know what it is. And he fires. And this made me think, maybe the Enterprise isn't all that well designed, because he sticks this thing into a data port or something, and then immediately coolant starts shooting out of the warp core, which seems like a fatal flaw in the design. But it works out well in this situation, so perhaps that's why it was designed that way.
Well, the terrorists also failed Hostage 101 again by not, like, searching.
Right, they don't
even search the barber. Them. The barber obviously may have scissors on him, right?
That's
you got to take that out of his hand.
A comb of some sort, maybe?
Right.
And they should, yeah, and they leave a guy to watch Picard. But he spends half the time looking away from his hostage, so he's not a very good terrorist either. So Picard makes this distraction. He escapes into the Jefferies tube. Before he goes, he messes up some kind of the regulator that was going to shield the engineering from the baryon sweep so people could stay in it without dying. And then he runs off into the Jefferies tube. And as the doors are closing in the engineering, one of the terrorists runs after Picard and follows him into the Jefferies tube. And the chase is on. It's not a very exciting chase.
The crawl is on.
Right, yes. They crawl after one another through the Jefferies tubes pretty slowly. Picard gets to a door in the Jefferies tube. He opens it and he finds out, oh no, the baryon sweep is almost upon me. And this is where I got confused, and maybe you could tell me what happens. We cut to the terrorist who is following Picard in the Jefferies tube, and you think, well, he's cornered. He can't go anywhere. And the guy comes up to where Picard was, and what's there but Picard's little vest and some blinking thing. So he looks at that, the terrorist does. And then we cut to Picard walking down a corridor, and we hear the screams of the terrorist because the baryon sweep has killed him. But they don't explain how Picard did that.
They also don't explain, like, if your outpost, if your starbase is the whole purpose of it is to do these baryon sweeps,
mm-hmm.
You don't think that there would be some type of system that even down on the planet that would kind of be a sensor of life signs Like, it would show that, hey, maybe we better make sure, just double check, triple check, that there's no people on there when this thing goes through. You know, similar to like a microwave. Like, you can't like microwave with the door being shut. So it's like a security protocol. But no, people could be up there, and the beam could go through. And even down on the planet, like the two aliens there that are monitoring, that are obviously in on it, like they don't even know.
They don't seem to care at all.
Right.
It does. I was thinking the same thing, because it can't be that expensive to just scan for life forms as you're doing this. But then I thought, as I often do while I'm watching Star Trek and I have to rationalize things, maybe, A, the baryon sweep messes up the sensors, so they can't do that, or the people they have in cahoots, the people down in at the station have overridden that protocol so that they can get away with doing their terrorist thing.
Right. There's 1,000 other crew members on the planet, you know, doing whatever they're doing, riding horses.
They're riding horses, drinking pina coladas.
And it looks like, I mean, I didn't pay that much attention, that all the officers in the room in the reception have their communicators.
They do.
So you wouldn't think that, you know, some low-level ensign in engineering would want to, like, communicate with LaForge or someone there saying, hey, how's the party going?
Nope, no one ever asks. Well, they don't want to get involved in small talk with Hutchinson. Such is Commander Hutchinson's legend that no one wants to even communicate with someone who's near him. But luckily, he's dead, so everybody there, people will remember this day fondly as the day Commander Hutchinson died, because he's such a horrific small talker. And so Picard kills one terrorist. That's we can keep track. Bing, one terrorist dead. And Picard pauses briefly to think about the pain that he's caused. And then he goes into Worf's quarters, and Worf apparently keeps a crossbow and some poison, tranquilizing poison, in his quarters, as, of course, Worf would. So Picard arms himself with that. The terrorists find Picard's communicator, so they think, hey, he's not a barber. And then they hear that, Picard hears over the communicator that since he messed up the thing that's going to keep them safe in engineering, that they have to move the trilithium resin to 10 forward so that they can then meet their ship that's going to pick them up. Picard breaks in and says, don't be stupid. Trilithium is very dangerous. Don't try and move it. To which the terrorist person says, if you hadn't messed up our plan, we wouldn't have to move it, so it's really your fault. Don't you feel silly? And she figures out that she calls him a lieutenant commander for some reason. I don't know why she randomly picked this rank out of the air, but she does. So now the race is on to go to 10 forward. And Picard makes it difficult for the terrorists. He cuts some rungs in Jeffrey's tube, so they can't use that Jeffrey's tube to get to 10 forward.
Right. This is where Die Hard turns into Home Alone.
That's right. Or MacGyver, because Picard also makes some kind of flash powder somewhere that he uses later.
But when he asks the computer, or in the scene with the terrorists that mm-hmm. say, like, when does it hit engineering? And we all know where engineering is on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They say 12 minutes. And apparently 12 minutes is enough time to like, how would you get those rungs out of the Jeffrey's tube? How long would that take with what he had?
He has
with
a laser
phasers
welder.
Not working. Right, with that little laser thing? And then do it on purpose so they have to go around instead of just waiting there and just killing them.
He does a lot of things in those 12 minutes. He gets himself a crossbow. He finds the tranquilizing poison. He cuts those rungs off, and he makes some flash powder. He's very good at these things. So they send off another terrorist. Back in the party, we've got Beverly says, oh, Geordi needs some water. And so they're like, okay, go get some water. So she walks over to get some water to, I guess, be closer to Troy. But the way they have blocked out the scene, Troy was equidistant from where Crusher was when she was next to Geordi and when she's getting water. And so she apparently, I guess she's trying to whisper to Troy, but she basically says out loud, we're ready.
Yeah, I never understood the water part. I just, like, did they just need to add an extra 40 seconds to the showtime?
It seems weird.
It really didn't matter, like, if they got water or not.
No, it didn't obscure what she was doing at all. But she says, we're ready. We need a distraction. And so Troy very obviously walks over to Riker and says, hey, they're ready, but they need a distraction. So Riker says, leave it to me. I'll talk to them. So he walks over to the captors and punches one in the face, creating a distraction. to let Beverly finish the modifications to the visor. Back on the Enterprise, Picard has come across another terrorist who's looking for him, and he does what you would imagine. He shoots him in the leg with a crossbow bolt that is drugged with tranquilizers, and he passes out. But another terrorist comes up behind him as he's trying to extract the bolt with a welder to his neck and captures him. She brings him back to the lead terrorists. Well, she's going to meet them, the lead terrorists, and the lead terrorists and kind of like her technical dude are making their way to the Jeffries tube to tend forward. They stop, and she says, the lead terrorist says to the technical dude, are we going to have any issues getting this trilithium out of this jury-rigged system you made? And he says, no, just follow these 8 simple steps that I will detail for you, and it should be fine. And as soon as he said that, I thought, well, she's going to kill him. And she then kills him.
I could always tell just from the beginning when we met that character, because he seemed way too nice to be a terrorist. I'm like, okay, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, the guy, the nerd guy that tells just what happened. Like, oh, this is all you need to do. Okay, we don't need you anymore. Which makes, once you see that, like if they're willing to kill each other, it makes it even more nonsensical that when they capture Picard twice, they don't just kill him.
They don't just kill him, yeah. It doesn't make any sense. They should have. I mean, obviously, Captain Picard is never in peril in this episode because he's Captain Picard. But they should have just killed him or at least tied him up. I mean, why not tie him up or knock him out?
Especially when they knew he was the barber. Why not kill the barber? At least, obviously, when he says, you know, he's a high-value target when he's the captain. But when he was the barber, just kill the barber.
And they don't kill the barber.
Or at least get a better haircut. Look at the haircuts of some of those people.
They do have some bad haircuts. They should have said, all right, you're the barber. Fix our hair as we're doing this. But they don't. They go to 10 forward. Picard is captive. But he has put a piece of tape on the floor of 10 forward that contains his flash powder. So when the terrorists step on it, it makes a big flash. The terrorists are flung halfway across 10 forward along with the trilithium case, which looks like it almost explodes, but it doesn't. One of the terrorists is thrown behind the bar, and the leader and Picard get into a poorly choreographed fight. The baryon sweep comes into 10 forward, goes past the bar, killing, one imagines, the terrorist who was behind the bar. And Captain Picard and the woman leader tussle some more. She grabs the trilithium container from him and beams away. And back on the planet, the visor ultrasonic beam thing happens. Everybody gets knocked out. Data gets up and assumes control of the control panel. And Picard is stuck in 10 forward. The baryon sweep is getting closer and closer. He climbs up into the rafters, pleading onto his communicator to stop the sweep. Which he
didn't do at any point
before
throughout this entire affair.
It's true. Well, and I was confused because I thought those communicators just communicated with the other terrorists. But I guess Captain Picard thought they communicated to the outpost as well. I don't know. And they do, because then Data comes on the communicator and says, hey, what's happening, Captain Picard? We've shut down the beam, the sweep, which they do. So Captain Picard is not dead. And Data says, do you know anything about this small scout vessel that is off the side of the Enterprise and is leaving? And Captain Picard looks at his hand, and in his hand he has this control rod that Neil, who's the character that got killed, the techie guy, had explained he put in there to make the trilithium stable. And he says, Picard says to Data, I know they're not going to get very far. And about 2 seconds later, the shuttle explodes, killing the terrorists. So every terrorist that was on the Enterprise was killed. And Picard...
Well, technically, they weren't terrorists, because we get the glimpse that they don't have any political agenda. They're doing it for profit.
So technically,
arms dealers? We're giving them a bad name by labeling them terrorists.
That's right. I apologize.
They're really like bounty hunter. They're, you know, whatever.
They're opportunist hijackers, I guess, because they're stealing stuff. Or pirates, maybe? I don't know what they are.
I guess so.
I don't know. They're not nice people. and so the episode ends in sickbay, where Captain Picard is getting treated by Beverly Crusher for some kind of scrape he got on his head. And he has apparently ordered, he's continued his ruse of being a horse person by ordering probably at least 50 people to look for his saddle on several decks.
He went whole hog. He really committed.
He is very committed.
He doesn't have to anymore. He could have just said, I just didn't like Hutch. And it's like, nope. I can't let people know that I'm really a horseman.
Well, I guess he doesn't want to say that he was just lying to Hutch because Hutch is now dead, so he feels kind of bad. So he just has to continue this lie for the rest of his life. And then Worf comes in. He's very sad because everyone says, oh, we can't find their saddle. Worf comes in holding the saddle and, in a fine performance by Michael Dorn, looks disgusted that he had to look for the saddle and says, I found it. Picard is very happy. Worf says, why do you have a saddle? And they make this running joke about how every experienced horse person has his own saddle. And the episode ends.
And we don't get the postscript in season 8, if they had existed, where the Enterprise blows up because they didn't do that last section of the forward hull of the Baryon sweep.
That's right.
And it just gives in and then everyone's dead.
And 10 forward is the weakest now part of the ship and it implodes. And the only thing they find is a saddle floating through the debris. So that's Starship Mine. What did you think, Jordan, of the episode overall?
I mean, it's a contained episode. It's, it's a fun episode. You kind of have to suspend your disbelief over the stuff that we've been mocking the entire episode.
Yes.
And other than that, I mean, one of the best parts that we left out was when – because it's weird because I'm watching it, in a bubble, that even season 6, episode 18, Data is still like, I want to be human. I'm trying out these human things.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that at that point, he would have mastered small talk by then. And you even see him, trying to do the same type of Hutchinson-like small talk to Beverly and Will. And they're laughing at him, but I don't think he realizes that he's being a joke. He's trying to act human. And he still hasn't got – he's not doing it for comedic effect.
Right. He's trying to be a real boy, and they are laughing at his efforts, which isn't very nice if they're supposed to be his friends.
Right. But it highlights the fact that, like we mentioned in the beginning of this episode, that Star Trek The Next Generation is a great series when it comes to self-contained episodes where Data for 7 seasons is constantly in this – mode of trying to be more human, and he never really grows to that point.
Yeah, he's always Pinocchio. He never turns into the real boy. Right. Whereas in Deep Space Nine, Odo has a similar kind of thing because he doesn't know who he is. He's a biological guy, but he doesn't know where he comes from. He's the only one of his kind. But then throughout the course of several seasons, he figures out his background. He becomes his own person. He doesn't he doesn't identify himself as this unique, weird thing that people are afraid of, and he has a much more defined character arc, whereas Data is just the same character through 7 seasons.
Right. Which almost makes me feel as if my disdain towards the original series really kind of extends to The Next Generation in some perspective, as that Next Generation was a product of its times also, because the 90s was the big syndication era, that Deep Space Nine and Voyager were more in the 2000s, where, people did grow on an episodic network series similar that we see now in 2014. Almost everything's like that with Breaking Bad and Lost, and everything is just all linear. That, I'm going back and going, yeah, maybe The Next Generation wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
Oh, no.
Well, in comparison to Deep Space Nine, I'm thinking about going back and watching DS9 from episode 1 on, because I watched that series as it came out. And, I never got into it the first 2 seasons because it just was it's all character building.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't used to that after The Next Generation, that because of it's 2014 now, maybe I'll appreciate it more.
Well, I think you should go back, because Deep Space Nine is, in fact, I think it's the best Star Trek series because of the fact that the characters grow and that you discover new things, and it's all really character driven. And that's my favorite part of any television show, is watching the characters. And that's why I like The Next Generation. Even though the characters don't really grow, they are fully realized, and they're kind of like, you think of them as your friends, as you've watched 6 seasons of this episode, so you think of this show, you think, oh, what wacky adventures are my friends going to get into? And Starship Mine is a perfect example of kind of a light, fun, wacky episode of Star Trek, that doesn't have, like, sometimes there are ponderous overtones in Star Trek where, you know, talking about humanity and what it means to be human and all this kind of heady stuff that is worthwhile to explore. But sometimes you just want an episode where a guy beats up some other people. And that's what you get in Starship Mine.
The last question is, do any of them go to Hutch's funeral? And will there be small talk to be had?
I think there has to be small talk at Hutch's funeral, or else it's not an appropriate memorial service. But I bet what'll happen is that they will, the sweep will finish, and Picard will be like, you know, guys, we really wish we could stay for the memorial service, but we really have to continue our mission. We'll send a floral arrangement, but we gotta go. That's what I think. And then he'll be like, I have to ride my horse on the holodeck. I can't make it. Jordan, thank you for joining me. And I hope that you are inspired to rewatch Deep Space Nine, because it's well worth your time.
Next on Random Trek, Enterprise Season 2, Episode 3, Minefield.